the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Father, dear sisters, dear friends, we begin today the season of Septuagesima, a time of preparation for Lent, for the rigorous combat of Lent. And Holy Mother Church, by both the epistle and the gospel of today's Mass, tries to remind us that salvation can be had only by a wholehearted striving for God. In the epistle, for example, he speaks, St. Paul does, of the athlete who runs in a race, or a wrestler who wrestles his opponents. He says, so run as to attain. Put forth the effort that you need to put forth to have the hope of conquest. And then in the gospel, of course, the parable of the vineyard owner who calls souls into his vineyard, God who calls souls to labor, to strive. And so today I would like to speak to you of the vice which is opposed to this diligence of soul, and that is the vice of sloth. Sloth we might define as a voluntary and culpable repugnance to effort. We are not here speaking of that sluggishness that we can feel if we're overtired or if our health is not good. No, we're speaking here of a disposition of the will, a voluntary repugnance. One fears and refuses effort. One seeks always the easier way. Again, this sloth of which we speak is not simply lying around doing nothing. That can be, in fact, very difficult for some temperaments. That doesn't mean they don't have this vice. No, we mean rather that pronounced tendency to follow the path of least resistance in any given moment. It might manifest itself by an aversion to physical effort. We think of the person who, on the job, the boss is there, he does his job well enough, but as soon as the boss is not there, it goes down a good notch. It's always the law of the minimum. Or we might think of someone at home who is sweeping the floor, and instead of taking the dustpan and stooping over and making sure it goes in the waste can, he just sweeps it under the chair or under the couch. Or there's something on the floor that needs picked up, he just goes around it. So an aversion to effort, some little physical effort or greater physical effort, but an aversion to effort on that level. But we might also say this sloth can manifest itself as an aversion to any serious mental or spiritual efforts. Study, for example. We talk often to the kids about the need for them to give a wholehearted effort in their studies instead of just coasting. And we think of ourselves, maybe our aversion to or our disinclination to read anything which is very serious. We prefer something which is simply mindless. Or the difficulty we have in making ourselves be diligent in our prayer simply because of the effort required. So we have here this disposition of will, which is in fact opposed to the law of nature and the law of supernature both. If we look at the animals, the ants, the squirrels, the bees, we see how it's in them that they work. Well, we have that in us too. We often think that the difficulty that we have in work comes from the fall of Adam. Well, it's true in a certain sense, because now work is onerous to us, the effort that's required, it weighs on us. But man was meant to work even before the fall of Adam. We read in Scripture that when God put Adam in the garden, he put him there to cultivate it and to tend it, to tend to it. And so it's in our nature. In the third commandment, God commands that we rest on the seventh day, but indirectly he tells us to work because he says, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy works. And this law of effort is also very much something that we must consider to be applied on the level of the soul as well. We are meant to work out our salvation, St. Paul says. And we have today's parable. Why do you stand here all the day idle? Enter you also into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just. Our Lord is saying he will give us the reward to our soul in the measure that we've tried hard for our soul. We've worked to develop and strengthen our soul. There are other parables as well, but you get the idea. It's clear that our Lord intends for us to strive. And it makes perfect sense that he would desire that we have this disposition. Because if we would accomplish our duty of state, it's not going to happen without certain effort. Where in the slothful man, he's inclined precisely to avoid that effort. And so it's going to lead to a neglect of duty. Duties will be taken up reluctantly, or they'll be poorly performed, indifferently, half-heartedly, or after procrastinating, or maybe not performed at all. Now, of course, the seriousness of this neglect is determined by just how grave the duty neglected was. It's one thing to neglect to do one's chore, sweep the floor, or to make a meal if one's a mother of a family. There's a certain neglect there, a certain fault. But we can go up a level. It's quite another thing for a father of a family to not go to work one day because he just doesn't feel like it. Or we can go up a level from that, where there might be neglect in the effort required to form our children, to discipline them properly, simply because we have to be after them and we don't want to make the effort. Same thing when we talk about our soul. We can neglect our soul simply out of an aversion to the effort required. We don't pray. We don't go to confession. So we don't want to make the effort. All right, so there can be this slothfulness leads to a neglect of duty on any number of levels. And of course, the danger is not so much simply that we neglect a particular duty on a particular occasion, although it can be grave, but that we develop a habit of this slothfulness. We have a fallen nature, and when we give in to that fallen nature, it wants more. We know ourselves. We hit the snooze button in the morning, it's very easy to hit it again, and again, and maybe again. If we sleep in one day and arrive to school or work late, it's a little easier to do it the next day. The habit is formed very quickly. The less effort we put forth, the less we feel like putting forth an effort. We speak of a couch potato, right, on a physical level. Well, there's such a thing as a couch potato mentally, a mental couch potato, and there's such a thing as a spiritual couch potato as well. Each one more grave than the last one. That affliction. The book of Proverbs says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest, then will poverty come upon you like a highwayman, and want like an armed man. There develops a habit of taking the path of least resistance. And that habit leads to neglect and sin. And that's why sloth is considered to be one of the capital sins. It's a cause of other sins. And so we want, for our part, to be determined to not let this disposition of soul take hold in us. It helps, I think, to reflect on the things that we're talking about. And of course, it's very necessary that we pray. That we pray for the grace to overcome ourselves. That we pray for the grace to overcome this repugnance to effort. But here, as with all of the efforts that we make for virtue, it doesn't happen simply with prayer. We have to pray. Pray is essential. We will overcome nothing without God's help, without God's grace. But we will never overcome ourselves either without effort. We have to train the will. We have to develop a habit of diligence. And there are opportunities for us all day long, each one of us. Firstly, to be diligent in our duty of state. Whether we're young or old, whether we're a student or we have a job in the workplace, or whether we're a mother of a family or whoever we are, we have duties. and to do those duties as well as we can, wholeheartedly, diligently, that strengthens the soul. One day at a time, one effort at a time, the soul grows in strength. The heart grows in strength. Whereas if we let ourselves follow the path of least resistance and we neglect and we cut corners, little by little the soul weakens. So we want to be diligent in our duties, in our duty of state. We also want to avoid idleness. In other words, we're diligent enough when we have to be, but as soon as we don't have to be, we simply vegetate, as the saying goes. No, we should always have something to fall back on. We should always be busy. And that doesn't mean that we don't have honest recreation and honest rest, which are necessary. But there's a difference between honest recreation and honest rest and sitting and barely able to click the button on the remote, right, and not wanting to make the least effort because one doesn't have to at that moment. We want to develop a habit of initiative. The old folks of our time, they still have this. A lot of times you see the old folks, they can't get up and work and be around and do a ton of stuff, but if grandma's sitting by the fireplace, she's knitting. Right? If grandpa can't be out shoveling the walk, well, no, he can't, but he's puttering around working on this or whittling on that, or trying to make something work a little bit better. They had this sense of initiative, and they were always wanted to be busy. Whereas we are more inclined to simply, as soon as we don't have to be doing something, we just, no effort at all. And so we want to avoid idleness, which leads to sin, obviously. You know the old saying, an idle mind, the devil's workshop. No, our faculties are meant to be engaged in one way or another. Could be putting a puzzle together. Could be putting a model together. Could be knitting. Could be crocheting. Could be painting. Could be working. But we're meant to be engaged. So we avoid idleness. And we should also accustom ourselves to little voluntary acts that require effort of us, where it's not strictly necessary, but we make the effort to make the effort. Especially in those areas where we feel, where we see that we fall short. The alarm goes off in the morning, we could lay there for 3 minutes and get up, or we could, as soon as the alarm goes off, we're on the floor saying our prayers. First act of the day is an act of virtue, an effort to overcome ourselves. We could go around that thing that's laying on the floor, or we could stoop over and pick it up instead of leaving it for the next guy. We could go through the drive-thru at the restaurant or at the bank, or we could get out and walk into the place. These are little things. Same thing on a supernatural level. When it comes to an effort for our faith, we could stand there when the hymn is being sung and not make the effort to sing. Not make the effort to pull the hymnal out and open it to the page it is and actually sing. We can get away with that. It's not a mortal sin. But we could also make the effort. There's a special event like the rosary, the pro-life rosary of a week or so ago. We don't have to go. No, there's no sin involved. But we could go just to make the effort. Just to make an effort for something that matters. And the same thing, whether it's a high mass with a procession or whatever it is. We can avoid the path of least resistance. Not only because we want to be diligent in general, but also because we want to be especially diligent when it comes to our soul, when it comes to our service of God. And if we make any of these efforts, whether on a natural level or on a supernatural level, if we make any of these efforts with a supernatural intention, a desire to love our God, a desire to strengthen our soul so that we'll be faithful in the long run, now God can develop in us a virility of soul, which is what our soul needs desperately. Our world needs desperately. So remember, dear friends, these words of our Lord as we close this sermon. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent carry it away. It's of course not the one with the machine gun who's going to gun down whatever. No, it's the one who will strive. The one who will do violence to himself. He'll go against himself. He will make an effort to rise above the inclination to follow the path of least resistance, because he loves and because he wants to be strong for his God. And so let us ask for that spirit as we attend the rest of today's Mass, as we assist at this Mass. Let us ask our Lord for that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.